JC Corcoran Podcast.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that JC is out there running his mouth. Let me read you a comment that he left to someone. Hello, Beth, you Nazi cow.
Anthony Scaramucci went off.
In a profanity-filled, expletive-laden interview.
We're talking about F-bombs.
I can't read all the words.
We can at least give you an idea.
Scaramucci said he wanted
to expletive.
Deleted.
Effing kill all the leakers.
Scaramucci referred to Priebus as a quote.
Again, expletive.
Expletive.
Blank.
Blanking.
Blanking.
Bleeping.
Bleeping.
Effing.
Effing.
Paranoid schizophrenic. A paranoiac.
And referred to himself as the mooch.
That was the least foul and offensive thing that Scaramucci said.
Scaramucci also using coarse language to describe senior White House advisor Steve Bannon.
Using an extremely foul term.
With language more fit for the outhouse than the White House.
So sexually explicit.
Such vulgar terms, they cannot be repeated on television.
We'd have to delete so many expletives, you would not understand what the quote meant.
Let me leak the blanking thing and see if I can blank block.
Blank block.
Bleep block these people the way I bleep blocked Scaramucci.
I'm not Steve Bannon. I'm not trying to suck my own expletive.
I'm not trying to suck my own expletive.
I'm not trying to suck my own bleep.
And I'm not going to blank my own blank. I'm not going to keep just saying blanking, blanking.
The president's chief strategist talking about self-fellatio.
How is that even physically possible, number one?
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Friday, the 20th of August, 2021, here at JCOnTheLine.com. Sorry about yesterday. Last week, again, I had those steroid shots into my spine, and I don't know why steroid shots do this, but they screw up my throat and my voice. And yesterday morning, I was having severe laryngitis. It's a little better today. I'm still pushing to get it out, but we got a whole show for you lined up. But again, that was the story on yesterday. We are getting famous in Missouri for all the wrong reasons. On the heels of Ferguson a couple of years back, and then you've got the numbers that come out twice a year that seem to indicate that St. Louis City is not a safe place. Tons and tons of murders. And on top of that, now you've got all of this stuff with COVID. Listen to this. Missouri State Senators in 2014, Governor Parson, Lieutenant Governor Kehoe, Attorney General Eric Schmidt, all voted in favor of mandatory meningitis vaccinations and requiring proof of those vaccinations for Missouri college students due to an outbreak that wasn't remotely as deadly as COVID-19. But they've all changed positions. Why support mandatory vaccinations and documentation with the national deaths from that outbreak were measured in the hundreds and not when the national deaths from another outbreak are measured in the hundreds of thousands? Politics a little bit in play here. Gosh, you think the hypocrisy? You got broadcasters who were making their living telling you that the whole COVID thing was a hoax and the vaccine was a hoax. And those guys are either dead or on ventilators. There's like two or three stories a day where somebody prominent in politics or broadcasting or something like that, just flapping his trap or her trap about, all this misinformation about COVID, and they end up in the hospital, and next thing you know, they passed away. All those politicians and celebrities and everything like that, they've all been vaccinated. They don't want to tell you that. When they're asked about it, they dodge the question as if answering the question, yes, I got my shot, somehow makes them disloyal to what? The party? Donald Trump? The movement? What is it? And then you get this doofus yesterday who drives from, I don't know, it was like North Carolina or something, drives all the way to the Capitol building and sits there in his truck and says, I have a bomb. live streams the whole thing on Facebook.
Gonna grab up and do something about all this because our Constitution or some nonsense like that.
He had no bomb. He is facing such a myriad of federal charges. It's only a half-hour podcast, okay? I couldn't get to all of them. Which brings us to Selena Gomez. Not somebody I generally talk about, but I can identify with this story. She does not regret handing her social media off to an assistant 4 years ago. She says, and here's the quote, "This tiny little phone that had 150 million people on it," so many followers she had, "I just put it down. That was such a relief for me," end quote. Here's what happened to me. In July, I got knocked off and put in Facebook jail, and so I wasn't able to post anything for a month, and I enjoyed it so much, and it refreshed me so much that I've taken the rest of the summer off, and I haven't posted anything in, I don't know, something like 2 months, and I don't know, we get closer to Labor Day, maybe I'll throw some stuff back up there, but it was taking way too much of my time. But the thing that really was the thing that pushed me over the edge was you can't post anything now without somebody calling you a bad name. And you got to have pretty thick skin to be in the broadcast business, because as soon as you turn on the microphone and start saying something, there's going to be, you know, half the population ready to tell you how much they disagree with you and what an idiot you are. My favorite one is where, you know, somebody in their 30s or 40s or something will see something that I posted, disagree with it, and decide to call me an old man. You know, sit down, old man. I'm like, wow, are you new in town or something? I've been called everything. I've been called everything. A lot of it by my ex-wife, but that's not the point. The point is this. When you've been called everything I've been called over the course of the last, 37 years now, you got to do a lot better than old man to even get my attention. My daughter's going to turn 12 in about a month, and one of the things I like to do just to mess with her head is to tell her about the cost, the prices of things when I was her age, when I was 11 years old and, you know, hanging out at these little, well, they were almost like kids' delis we had in the neighborhood. You know, you go into this place, there'd be pinball machines and games, and you could get a hot dog or a grilled cheese sandwich, and there was a ton of candy and a little lunch counter. It just seemed like everybody I ever saw in there was a kid, and we loved to spend our money. You know, you get your allowance and you go for it. I told her, I think that when I was her age, I think my allowance was a quarter. She gets $5 now, and it's going to 10 when she turns 12 next month. Shea Stadium concession prices in 1967. All right, so you go to a Mets game in the late 60s. You show up at the ballpark. Now, keep in mind, obviously, a place where prices are already sort of traditionally inflated to ridiculous levels. So everything I'm going to give you these prices here, these are all pretty much on the high side, because that's what happened when you went to the ballpark. And it still is the case now, obviously. All right, 67, Shea Stadium. Oh, and by the way, it's New York, so everything's jacked up even more. Frankfurter, 25 and 35. I'm not really sure what you got for the extra 10 cents. I don't know. Hamburger, 50 cents. Pizza, 30 cents for a piece of pizza. You could get sandwiches, ham, cheese, corned beef, egg salad. Man, you go to a baseball game and it's about 92 degrees and you're sitting there in the New York heat and you bust out an egg salad sandwich. Shrimp basket, 85 cents. Chicken basket, 85 cents. Fries, 25 cents. You could get a milkshake for 35 cents. Ice cream for 25 cents. Soft drinks, 15 and 25 cents. Beer, 50 cents. Soup, 20 cents. It goes to a baseball game, you get soup. A scorecard, 25 cents. The pencil costs you a dime. Gum, 5 cents. Cracker Jacks, 25 cents. You get a Met yearbook for 50 cents. 1967. Oh, yeah. Yeah, here's that other one I was talking about. This comes from out of Ashland, Missouri. A Missouri state lawmaker who's running for Congress has announced that her husband has died after the couple was diagnosed with COVID. Republican State Representative Sarah Walsh of Ashland thanked everybody who had prayed for her husband, Steve Walsh, and announcing Thursday in a tweet that he had died. He was 63. Neither she nor her husband had been vaccinated against COVID-19. Well, were you expecting a different outcome? Looks like Capitol Police and really at this point the federal government, Homeland Security, all those folks are looking at September 18th for some reason. That appears to be the date that is emerging as the next day to watch for something happening in the nation's capital. They think that a lot of the guys who weren't and who ended up not getting arrested, because a lot of them did, they've been over 400 prosecutions in that whole thing, and they're still looking for some people. But I don't know, maybe people who didn't come last time, figuring they're going to come this time. But September 18th, mark it on your calendar because it could be the next date to watch in this whole thing. Disney wants to give their theme park animatronics a level of intelligence where they can move, talk, and express emotion on their own. They're currently working on a young Groot, and don't worry, they will not be replacing human performers, but I will add the word yet to that story. Heidi Klum on The Tonight Show the other night, and she defended her fried spaghetti recipe. Apparently, this is a common way to make spaghetti in Germany. You fry the noodles, add an egg, and top it with ketchup. No, thank you. The most difficult thing to do in sport, that is a question that floats around from time to time on various, you know, sports talk radio stations, in sports publications, just broadcasters, you know, guys sitting around talking about what's the most difficult thing to do in sports. A lot of people say it is to hit a curveball. There are, Rick Horton said, anything on skates. You know why? Because he can't skate. He just thinks that any game that is played on skates, which pretty much leaves us to hockey. I don't know why he didn't say hockey. Well, any sport on skates. Is there something in addition to hockey I don't know about? Okay, racing maybe. All right, I'll give him that. Anyhow, I always give an answer that surprises people, and that answer is repeating a championship, especially in concurrent years. I think it's the most difficult thing in the world to do. Obviously evidenced by the fact of how little it actually happens. Somebody wins a world championship in baseball, football, hockey, whatever. They come back the next year. They can't do it. You know why? Because there's so much chance and probability involved in it. It translates. A lot of people would call it luck. It's just physics. You know, the ball just bounces your way sometimes. And sometimes you have a season where it bounces your way more than it bounces the wrong way and hurts you in some fashion. A lot of eyes on the Tampa Bay area because of Tom Brady and Gronk and all of those guys. Tremendous Super Bowl win over Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs. And yet another chapter in this story that somebody will tell someday. And there's just something, I don't know what it is. Something bugs me about Tom Brady. Something just bothers me about him. But that having been said, yeah, he's the greatest of all time. I don't even think it's close. And when Brady came in addition to Gronkowski, they're like, well, we got to bring some of the old guys back. And they bring in this guy, Antonio Brown, who's got a rap sheet as long as a CVS receipt. And people are like, oh, he's really changed. You know, the Lawrence Phillips defense. Oh, he's changed. Yeah. Yesterday, Antonio Brown got kicked out of a joint Bucks-Titans practice after he ripped off Tennessee quarterback Chris Jackson's helmet and punched him in the face. His own team sent him home. I was going into the Grammys ceremony in Los Angeles many, many years back, somewhere in the early 90s, I want to say mid-90s perhaps, when Blues Traveler was a really, really big band. And I was walking into the place right behind John Popper, the lead singer and harmonica guy, and I don't know what was wrong with him, but he had apparently a very, very badly injured either knee or ankle or something, and he was really hobbling. He wasn't on crutches, but he was just sort of walking in front of me, and I was going to ask him what happened, but then I figured the poor guy's probably been asked that question 6,000 times already just today alone. I'll leave him alone. Blues Traveler Tour Bus crashed Wednesday night, three of the guys, including John Popper, ended up in the hospital. Minor injuries. They're all going to be okay. They're going to play tonight, as a matter of fact. Got a bunch of stuff popping up on TV for the weekend. Reminiscence, which is also in theaters and also on HBO Max. That's that Hugh Jackman thing. You've got Annette. That is on Amazon starting today. Adam Driver and Marion Cotillard. Preseason football on ESPN. Tonight, Arizona hosting the Chiefs. Tomorrow night, Saturday, 7 o'clock Central on all the major networks. Stand Up to Cancer. Anthony Anderson, Sofia Vergara, Stevie Wonder. Well, that's worth it. Netflix has a documentary about Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali. That's coming next month. It's called Blood Brothers. The first trailer dropped yesterday. If you poke around on the internet, you'll find it. Mike Richards has begun filming new episodes of Jeopardy, even as the Anti-Defamation League is investigating him for comments he made on his podcast years ago. Call out to the bullpen and get Maya Bialik ready. Something tells me she's going to have a full-time gig pretty soon. And if you're a real diehard fan of the Rolling Stones, there's a track called Living in the Heart of Love that has been previously unreleased. But it has been released, and you can check it out. Living in the Heart of Love, Rolling Stones. Birthdays this weekend. Demi Lovato, the kid is a lot of miles on her odometer. She's 29. Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man, 38. Amy Adams, looking fine at 47. Joan Allen, who went to Northern Illinois University when I was there. She was in the Bourne Ultimatum, the Bourne Supremacy, Pleasantville, stuff like that. The Ice Storm, oh yeah. She's 65 today. Al Roker, 67. Robert Plant is 73. I don't know if you ever heard this story, but I told it a couple of times. When I lived in Houston, was working at that radio station, we had Robert Plant on the air one day because he lived up the road just outside of Austin in a place called Lake Travis, amongst the people who have what are called the Dell Mansions. In the 1980s, when the Dell Computer Company became ultra successful, there were a lot of people who just became instant millionaires, instant many times over, in fact, and they all bought these homes in about the only topographical change there is besides El Paso in the entire state of Texas, and it's just about 10, 15 minutes outside of Austin, and it's called Lake Travis. And you've got some pretty good hills, and then you've got this ravine, and you've got this big lake, and it's really, really pretty. And there's all these mansions that are lining the perimeter of Lake Travis. I know that Sandra Bullock has a place there, and we had Robert Plant. And one of the guys in the room, I can't take credit for this, but one of the guys in the room asked Robert Plant, what would you say is your greatest personal achievement? And he paused for a very, very long time. And then he said, almost sheepishly, he said, getting my Texas driver's license. And we all looked at each other like, boom, mind blown. Connie Chung, everybody liked her until they found out she was married to that disgusting Maury Povich, is 75 today. Tomorrow, Hayden Panettiere, 32, Casey Musgraves, 33, Usain Bolt, Jamaican sprinter, who was once the fastest man alive, 35. Alicia Witt, lover, lover, lover. She's 46. Amy Fisher, the Long Island Lolita, listed amongst the celebrities at 47. Jim McMahon, former NFL quarterback for the Chicago Bears and star of the Super Bowl Shuffle, and unfortunately battling dementia right now. He's only 62 and he's in bad shape. Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City, 65. Jackie DeShannon, Put a Little Love in My Heart, is 80. On Sunday, Dua Lipa, who's got hit after hit after hit right now for the kids, 26. James Corden, 43. Kristen Wiig, 48. Giada De Laurentiis, something oddly, oddly attractive about her, at 51. Debbie Peterson from the Bengals is 60. One of the greatest names in the history of rock and roll, from Tears for Fears, Roland Orzabal, is 60 today. That's on Sunday. Cindy Williams, Laverne and Shirley, 74. Bill Parcells, the Big Tuna, is 80. And Carl Yastrzemski, Yaz, turns 82. The current state of St. Louis radio is absolutely abysmal. All of the great radio personalities, almost all of them, that made the St. Louis radio stations as great as they once were have been shown the door in one way or another. There's now like 15 conservative talk stations providing wide diversity in programming. St. Louis Radio. You'll come for the 15 conservative FM talk stations. You won't stay for anything, frankly. Anyhow, today is National Radio Day. The first commercial radio broadcast, 1920. Now there are over 15,000 radio stations in the U.S. and more than 40,000 worldwide. One in five Americans say listening to the radio is one of the top little things they look forward to every day. And a poll in June found it was the number one thing people missed about their commute last year. Around half of us love singing to the radio. Women are more likely to do it than men. A study by Tinder in 2016 found radio personality was one of the sexiest jobs you could have. It ranked fifth, but guess what? We all fell off the list completely in 2018. The radio is the 11th most important invention of all time. That's according to a poll that came out in October. The top three, by the way, electricity, phones, and vaccines. 9% of people wouldn't mind if radio stations played more commercials. Don't tell people that. They'll do it. And 9% also think we should be allowed to play Christmas music all year. By the way, FM stands for frequency modulation. AM stands for amplitude modulation. Not that that means anything to you. When you change channels on an AM radio, you're changing the amplitude of the signal. On FM, you're changing the frequency. Oh, yeah, that clears it up. In general, a station's call letters start with a W. If you're east of the Mississippi River, stations west of the Mississippi generally start with K. Recent study in Australia found waking up to music on the radio makes you less sluggish than waking up to an alarm. 31% of dog owners have used the radio to keep their dog company. That's sort of depressing. Honey, should we throw our radio out? No. What's the dog going to listen to? And only 28% of radio hosts agree with the statement, I have a face for radio. Hardy freaking har, har, har. A new study out of the University of Michigan found every hot dog you eat shortens your healthy years of your life by 36 minutes. Burgers and macaroni and cheese both shorten your healthy life by about 5 minutes. But the good news, you can add time. Opting for a handful of cashews extends your healthy years by 26 minutes. Other things that do it include fruits, vegetables, and seafood. And one sort of surprising thing, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches can also add time. New survey says the average American only gets 13 truly pain-free days every year. That's less than 4% of total days. 48% of people say it's hard to believe they'll ever have another pain-free day. And is it like Chick-fil-A saying, we're not going to sell chicken anymore? This OnlyFans thing? No more pornographic content? That's why they're there. The new policy goes into effect on October 1st. They will still show nudity, but no streams that show any type of sexual act. About 130 million people use OnlyFans, and a lot of them are there for the sex, so it's a big deal. They're doing it because they haven't been able to find investors, and they think it'll be better for the site long term to have investors and nobody watching. Seems like there's a new poll every week about people saying, I'm sort of liking this working from home thing. I might want to do that all the time. New poll found that a flexible work from home policy is now the number one thing people are looking for in a job. 48% say it's the top thing they want in their next job. That's 48%. 72% said they won't even consider working for a company if they can't work from home for at least some of the time. Now, that doesn't mean we like everything about working from home. According to the poll, the top challenges, a lack of office equipment like printers, it's hard to communicate with your coworkers, and there are too many distractions. You can get a printer for like $79. Maybe people don't have $79. Off to Tennessee we go, where a 52-year-old guy was arrested for indecent exposure on Wednesday after he got naked, hopped on a log, and floated 10 miles down a river while singing God Bless the USA. That might be the most Tennessee story I've ever seen. A man in Florida charged with armed robbery after trying to steal a Snickers from a convenience store on Tuesday. He pulled out a knife and told the clerk, "Don't make me do something stupid for a Snickers bar." End quote. Sure, the clerk was like, "Don't shoot, don't shoot. I know what you do for a Klondike bar already, and it's not good." And soup sales in this country are dropping, and it's because everybody still has tons of soup they don't want from the early pandemic freakout, and it's because people are trying to eat fresher and healthier foods. And 40% of deer across four states tested positive for COVID-19 antibodies, which means, of course, they have been exposed to the virus. And now this.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show Graham.
Actor Hugh Jackman.
You made an entrance on a zip line and almost took your damn head off.
Yeah, well, it was the Oprah show, and she came down to Australia, and she had this idea that I would zip line from the top of the Opera House down to the stage. And I really didn't have much time to rehearse it, and I missed a light by, it must have been an inch. If I'd gone into that light, I don't think I'd be on the phone with you right now. But mainly it was my leg that got hit. I thought I broke my leg. I don't normally take my kids to those things. So they're like, "Oh, we want to go and see Oprah." So they were sitting in the audience when I did this, and that's why I didn't want to turn around, because I saw blood dripping down onto my shirt. For all I knew, my face was caved in, trying to hide from them. And my wife said to me, she said, "My son," who was probably 9 at the time, and he just turned to her and said, "Why can't we be a normal family?"
Cardinals finally figured out a way to beat the Brewers 1-3. I thought we would dig up this conversation we have with the one and only Bob Uecker. This was their last year at County Stadium, which was completely falling apart. The new ballpark next door was in the process of being finished off, and we spent a few moments with the Uke.
A special weekend for Bob Uecker. How many years in the booth now?
Actually, 30 here in Milwaukee. I spent a couple in Atlanta following my days as a... I don't know if they call me a player there or not, but whatever I was there. I did work a couple of years with Milo Hamilton and Ernie Johnson before coming here to Milwaukee in 1971. So, yeah, it's been a while.
You know, now when you travel to St. Louis, how does the town seem different from your days playing back in St. Louis? I guess you were still around for the tail end of Gaslight Square and the Playboy Club and the Chase Park Plaza?
Yeah, all that stuff was there. Matter of fact, I thought Gaslight Square was a bunch of filling stations. The ballpark, of course, has changed dramatically from old Busch Stadium, but the city of St. Louis is one of my favorite places. I don't know if there's a better baseball town in all of the country than St. Louis, and the fans and everything that that happens there is big league. I mean, the Arch, I've taken a ride in the Arch a couple of times. One of these times I want to go inside and ride it. I do it from outside where it's a little tougher and a little scarier, but it's hot. That metal gets hot. You can't put your hands on it. You got to wear gloves when you climb that thing. And but it's a kick. It's a lot of fun. It takes a day and a half to do it, but it's a lot of fun.
I'm assuming you have mixed emotions about the passing of this ballpark. And we heard stories. We were taking a tour yesterday. They told us they've seen skunks underneath the place.
Well, those were put here. We work here with the zoo, and one of our sponsors, as a matter of fact, every time somebody throws a wild pitch, they contribute $250 to the zoo. They furnish meat to the zoo to the animals. I don't know what kind of meat camels eat, but that's what one of our sponsors does. But, yeah, we have all kinds of animals. As a matter of fact, the Discovery Channel comes in here and films once a month to find out what's underneath here. And we've seen a lot of stuff under here that's still unidentified. But I'm not sorry to get out of here. I mean, this has been a great old ballpark, but I can't wait to get to Miller Park. This place has... Is seen its best days, I can guarantee you that.
Did you ask for anything special in the broadcast booth? They can customize, you know, the place for you.
Well, we have a very nice booth over there, and it's unfortunately not facing the field. It actually faces this ballpark, and which is going to make calling a game kind of tough. But having been, into these adverse situations before, I think I can, I'll come through with something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bob, with over 100 appearances on The Tonight Show, does one stick out in your mind?
You know, not really. I had such a good time on The Tonight Show going all the way back to New York when I first started doing the shows in 1969. The one thing about the Tonight Show, the staff, Johnny Carson was probably as good a straight man, maybe the best in the business. He wanted to make you good. I mean, if you were, so to speak, one of the guys. I mean, I did the show maybe 3 or 4 times a month sometimes, and he liked to have a good time. He didn't know a lot about baseball, but as it got on, we had a lot of fun, and most of the time, the majority of the time, it was unscripted. I mean, as a matter of fact, one time, I think we were still in New York, or the show was in New York, and I was doing a show up there, and he asked me if I needed these questions and answers that they, questions that he had, do you need these? And I said, I don't need that stuff. I said, he said, well, I don't either. And from then on, it was pretty much ad lib. And the staff, everybody on that show, you know, Ed McMahon, who I still see from time to time, Doc Severinsen comes into Milwaukee and conducts the Milwaukee Symphony. You know, I still see those people. I don't see Johnny. I haven't seen Johnny in quite a while, but I had some of the best times of my life on that show.
You know, when I work with my partner, Karen, here, I see her every day, but when we travel together, that's when I think you really find out the truth about somebody. Now, you worked with our pal Bob Costas on the road for many years. Tell me something about Bob that the average person, even people like us, wouldn't know from not having traveled with him.
Well, the one thing about Costas is that once he gets... I can't tell you that. The other thing is, when we're on the road and we're in our room, maybe I better not tell you that either. One time we were in a car. We were in the back seat of a car. We were going from Baltimore. Anything I know about him, everything I know about him, I can't tell you. Sorry.
Now, I know you had your own clothing line in the mid-'80s. Are you wearing anything from that line tonight?
No, I'm not. What I am wearing from that line, I can't show you. It's kind of in shreds now, but, you know, when you have something like that, you get a clothing line, you hate to give it up, and you don't, you know, the stuff, you try to keep it as long as you possibly can. So most of the undergarments have been hand-washed, and you get them out in the wind to dry a little bit. They get a little shredded sometimes, but the elastic's still good in them.
You know, you're in great shape, Bob. I hope you don't take this the wrong way. We were watching you from behind. I hope my ass is as small and as tight as yours is when I'm your age.
I have a valve back here that I can let out or blow up, and you're welcome to blow it up if you want anytime. Just, you know, jump on, man.
Bob Uecker, it's great to see you. Congratulations on 44 years in baseball, 30 in the booth. Great to talk to you.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you later on. Thanks.
The one and only Bob Uecker right there. I used to date a girl when I lived in Milwaukee who lived directly across the street from him, two houses over. And we would see him outside with his shirt off in a pair of cutoff jeans mowing his lawn. He fishes. I don't know if he still does, but for like the last 30 years, fishes every single morning. He gets up, goes out on the boat, fishes, comes home, gets a nap, goes out, then does the Brewers games at night. And we thank the Uke for being on with us here for our Friday, August 20th edition of JCOnTheLine.com. It's the JC Corcoran podcast. Please spread the word that we're here every weekday morning at 7. Follow me on Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Email me, JC@JCOnTheLine.com. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.